So last week, we began a new series for the month of December, simply called Lit. And as we started this series, I read the words of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. It's the first time that Jesus ever gathers with a large group of people, and he gathers with them up on the side of a hill, and he says this to them. It's the inspiration for this whole series. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So last week, I said that if this community is going to be lit up, if your street is going to be lit up, if your neighborhood is going to be lit up, if your school or your workplace is going to be lit up, if the Nashville area is going to be lit up, it's going to be lit up through you and the light of Christ shining in you. If the darkness is going to shine, it's going to be because you and I light it up. That's our role as the church, to light up the darkness with the light of and the love and the goodness of God. Now listen, I don't usually like to toot my own horn, but I do want to make a wager that no one took that more seriously than me this week. I'm just saying, nobody spent more time lighting things up brightly than I did this week. Now, mostly I say that because I spent my week operating spotlight number 2 for Oliver Middle School's production of It's a Wonderful Life this week. Here's a picture of me at spotlight number 2. And I can just say that half of that stage has been lit up all week because I lit it up. This is actually my third production to run spotlight number 2. And I'm still kind of waiting for that promotion to spotlight number 1. I'm sure that it'll come someday, maybe if I do a good enough job. Speaking of spotlight number 1, we had an interesting thing happen to spotlight number 1. At some point along the way, when somebody turned on spotlight number 1, it started smoking and sparking and flaming. And I'm not a spotlight expert, but I think that's bad when that happens. And so this past Tuesday night, I drove down to Bradfield Stage Lighting in Nashville, and suddenly kind of feel like I'm doing a commercial. This worship service is brought to you by Bradfield Stage Lighting. We pride ourselves on customer service and creative solutions to your lighting challenges. Anyway, completely beside the point. Anyway, so I drove down to Bradfield Stage Lighting in downtown Nashville, and I picked up a spotlight rental in this really fancy case, and I brought it back to the school, and I got it set up. I brought it in, and I plugged it into the power strip, and I flipped the switch, and it did nothing. Have you ever felt like that before? Maybe it's just me, but maybe even in relation to the words of Jesus saying, you are the light of the world. Because sometimes for me, I feel like I hear Jesus say, you are the light of the world. And I think, well, that sounds good to me. I would like to be the light of the world. I'm in agreement with the concept, Jesus. But then I find myself in difficult circumstances or trying situations or frustrating interactions with people. And I mean, it'd be a whole lot easier to be the light of the world if it weren't for other people sometimes. Am I right? But when I go to flip the switch so that I can shine in the darkness, like nothing happens, right? There is no light sometimes in me. There is no power. I have nothing to shine. Does anybody else ever feel like that? I mean, it's like you understand the concept, but there's nothing happening when you go to flip the switch. Or, and again, maybe this is just me, but sometimes when I know that I should be the light of the world, when I flip the switch, light doesn't come out, but instead I'm more like the original spotlight number 1, and there's smoke coming out of my ears, and there's sparks coming out of my eyes, and there's fire coming out of my mouth, but it is definitely not the light of Jesus that people are experiencing on the other side of me. Anybody else ever have that experience? Right? Maybe? Is that just me? So I've actually, with this series, I've kind of been curious about how light actually works. And so I've been reading and learning a little bit about the origins of electricity and the light bulb and how it all works. And what I've learned is that Thomas Edison didn't actually invent the light bulb, which is what I had thought previously. But Thomas Edison is the one who figured out how to make it practical and affordable and long lasting. Back in that time, there were a couple other kind of impractical versions of artificial light, but somewhere around 1878, Thomas Edison began working on the filament. Now, the filament is it's like the magic of the light bulb. It's the most important element of light coming to the world as we know it. The filament is the tiny little part. I've got a light bulb. It's the tiny little part inside of this vacuum tube. You probably can't even see it from here. It's this just this tiny little thread. And Edison experimented with over 6,000 different plant fibers to try to find the right one. So he carbonized 6,000 different types of fibers. And finally, in December 1879, he gave the first public demonstration of an incandescent light using carbonized cotton as the filament. And he found that a cotton filament could stay lit for about 13 hours. He kept experimenting, and he found in early 1880 that a bamboo filament would stay lit for up to 1,200 hours, about 50 days. And then somewhere around 1900, the machinery was built that could create tungsten filaments. Edison knew this, but he didn't have the technology to make it happen. But tungsten has the highest melting point of every other element except carbon. So it can shine more brightly. And 120 years later, we're still using the same technology and materials for incandescent light bulbs. So what happens is the electricity comes up into the bulb and it heats up the filament. And once the filament gets hot enough, it starts to glow and it lights up the darkness. And so gathered on a hillside with a crowd of people, Jesus appears to be giving them an assignment and asking them a question that I think he's continuing to ask today. And it's simply this: will you be the thread that I can use to light up the world? Will you be the filament that will light up the room? Now, just like there's a thread of light in a light bulb, there's also a thread of light that you find all throughout the Bible from beginning to end. You see the story of light from the very first page of the Bible to the very last page of the Bible. It's kind of this amazing thread. So in Genesis chapter 1, on the very first page of the Bible, it says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In verse 3, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Notice this: before God spoke, the earth was formless and empty and dark. But even then, even in the darkness, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, hovering over the darkness, and God spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. So I love it when it's clear that science and theology go together. So science teaches that the universe began with the Big Bang. Genesis says that the universe began when God said, "Let there be light." In my imagination, at least the first time that God said, "Let there be light," I would imagine there was a pretty big bang of light. Now here's the thing, even today, in any area of life that's formless or empty or dark, in any place or any situation that's sad or tragic or hopeless, God's Spirit is hovering there because God wants to bring light out of darkness, because that's who God is and that's what God does. God's voice brings light. So the more you listen for the voice of God, the more you hear the voice of God, the more light you have in your life. God's voice brings light into the darkness. Then if you keep tracing this thread all throughout the book of Psalms, right in the middle of the Bible, you see the image of light. One of those places is in Psalm 119, 105, which simply says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." So God's voice brings light. God's word brings light. The idea in this psalm is that the more you have of God's word in your life, the more light you have in your life. Well, speaking of God's word, if you follow the thread, the Gospel of John tells the news that Jesus is the incarnate word of God. In other words, Jesus is the word of God in the flesh. And here's what John says at the very beginning of his gospel about the word of God. In the beginning was the word. He's talking about Jesus here. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Let there be light. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Listen to this. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you keep flipping later on in the Gospel of John, the same thread, Jesus says this about himself: "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So Jesus is the word of God who brings light into the world. Jesus is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Jesus lights up any and every kind of darkness. And then in the book of Revelation chapter 22, it's the very last chapter in the Bible. It describes the new heaven and the new earth, the last page. And it says this, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. God's voice gives light. God's word gives light. God's son gives light. And God's presence with us gives light. And Jesus says this to his followers again, you are the light of the world. In other words, if the dark places in the world are going to be lit up, it's going to be by the light of Jesus through us. We are the filament that God uses to light up the world. There's only one catch. Like there's only one flaw to the design of the filament. I guess it's not really a flaw of the filament, but it is a deficiency of the filament. The filament has a significant deficiency. And so if you've got a light bulb, you can try this at home. I want you to grab a light bulb and hold it in your hand. Just hold it tightly in your hand, right? And on the count of three, I want you to hold the bulb and see if you can light it up. One, two, three. Here's the deficiency of the filament. The filament can't light itself, right? It's got to be connected to the source of power. It's got to be connected to the source of light. If you want the filament to glow, you've got to connect it to the source of light. If you want to keep your light on in your life, you've got to plug in to the source of light. So like I said, I unpacked the new spotlight from its case and I put it on its stand and I plugged it into the power strip and I flipped the switch on the spotlight and nothing happened. No light. Right? I wouldn't necessarily classify myself as happy in that moment. I just spent 2 hours of my day driving downtown and loading a broken spotlight and driving back through rush hour traffic and unloading it and setting it up. But then I figured it out. I mean, you know why nothing happened? I'm sure you know. You know why nothing happened and the spotlight didn't turn on when I plugged it into the power strip and flipped the switch? Because the power strip wasn't plugged into the wall, right? Power strip is a little bit of a misleading name because the power strip doesn't have any power unless it's plugged in to the source of power, right? You can be the fanciest, most powerful power strip around. You can be the brightest, most luminescent spotlight ever assembled. You can be the best filament that's ever been designed. But until you plug into the source of power, you can never be lit up on your own. In the early 1880s, manufacturers started making different kinds of incandescent light bulbs. And what happened was that there were a bunch of different light bulbs with incompatible bases. And different and difficult ways to try to attach the light bulb to the base. And so it wasn't uncommon to have light bulbs that wouldn't work, not because of the filament, but because they simply couldn't be connected to the power source. And so in 1881, Thomas Edison patented what's known as the Edison screw. It's the piece at the bottom of the light bulb. And it's still used to this day, 140 years later. And because of Edison's invention, it doesn't take rocket science to light up a dark room. You simply have to twist it in and connect it to the source of power. And there you go. It's almost effortless. And the power makes the filament shine. All right, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Right? You just twist it in. I mean, it's the simplest thing in the world. And the moment the light bulb connects, it comes on and it shines light into the darkness. Right? In the same way for us, it's not your effort that makes you light up. It's not your own goodness that makes you light up. It's not your perfection. None of us are perfect. It's not your strain. It's not your hustle. It's just the beauty of the power of God working in your life that makes you shine. Right? You've just got to make sure that you're connected to the socket. And when the evening falls, you'll be bright. You'll be lit up. The Apostle Paul, I love this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said this, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Check this out, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Let me read that one more time. For what we preach is not ourselves, not our own power, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And ourselves, we're simply servants for Jesus' sake. For God, the same God who said, let light shine out of darkness, he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure. We're jars of clay. And we show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. All right, so listen, if the dark places in our community are going to be lit up, it's going to be by the light of Jesus through us. That's true. There's only one catch. Right? If you want to keep your light on, you've got to plug into the source of light. You can't be the light of the world unless you're plugged in to the light of the world. You could be the best light bulb ever created, but if you don't connect to the source of power, you will never be able to do what you were created to do, and your light will never shine. God wants to use us. God wants to use you to light up the community, the city, and all the places where you go. But in order for us to stay lit, we have to stay connected to Jesus. So the question isn't, how do I make myself shine? Right? The question is, how do I get myself in the right place so that the power of Jesus can cause my little thread to shine bright for everybody to see? I want to pray for us today. I want to ask you, if you would, to close your eyes. Bow your heads and let's pray together. God, we want to light up the darkness around us. That's why we're here. We want to be lit up. We want the darkness around us to be lit up. But God, we know that we can't do that on our own. There's no amount of our effort that can make us shine. There's no amount of our perfection that can be good enough. God, we need your light to shine in us. God, some of us have never really intentionally connected to you, to the source of light, to the source of life. So God, right now I pray that you would help us to do that. God, some of us have it's been a long time. It's been a long time since we've attempted to plug in, to connect to the source of power, to connect to the source of light, to connect to Jesus. And I pray right now that you'd simply help us to hear his voice, to get connected to his word, that you'd open our hearts to receive what it is that you have to offer. And as we do that, God, I pray that we would shine brightly in all the places where we go. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.